Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 4, where we will be looking at the story of Cain and Abel. You can either come to God like Cain or like Abel. One is filled with blessing and the other is full of hardship. No matter how you come to the Lord, Jesus is full of grace and long-suffering, always reaching his hand out in love. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews 11, verse 4.
We are in Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. We continue our journey through this rich portion of God's Word. Just one verse this morning, verse 4 of Hebrews 11. At this point, the Lord has shown me just to take it a character at a time. We'll see how it goes as we move from week to week. But last Sunday, we introduced this topic of faith. If you didn't bring a Bible, you could read on the screen behind me this morning with your eyes as I read out loud. The writer here defines for us, because he just said at the end of chapter 10, the just shall live by faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And it's by faith that the elders obtained a good report. And it's through faith that we, the church, we understand, we perceive with our spiritual eyes that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made with the things that do appear. And it's as though he can anticipate you sort of scratching your head like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? So inspired by the Spirit of God here, the author begins to do character sketches, and he reaches back to the beginning of time. But notice he doesn't start with Adam as the first to call to the stand for a demonstration of faith, but rather Adam's son, Abel. He says, by faith, and that's the emphasis here. It's by faith, Abel, verse 4, he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. But listen, the language is this. It's a more excellent sacrifice because he did it by faith. Okay, that's what you're supposed to see here as we move through this portion of scriptures. God gives this estimation of Abel's sacrifice as something of excellency because he did it through faith. It's by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. And it's by this sacrifice that he did by faith that he obtained witness. It's passive there. It's that this was put upon him. It was beside him. It was from someone else other than him. It's passive here. He obtained witness from the Lord that he was righteous. God testifying, notice here, of, or more literally translated, upon his gifts. And by it, he being dead, he still is speaking. That's the tense. Abel is still speaking to you and I, the writer says. And the question this morning is, are we able to hear the things that he is seeking to communicate to us? And so, Lord, I pray that you would open your word to us this morning. This is such an important topic, Lord, for us to grab a hold of. Faith. Lord, this subject matter of endurance, more literally. Lord, I think that if there were ever a time that your church needs a charge in the subject matter of endurance, it's now. And I believe, God, that all of these character sketches were given to us deliberately by you for a specific point of emphasis as to what we need endurance for. So I pray this morning that you would take my mouth, Lord, and use it as a tool in your hands to speak forth, Lord, your word simply and powerfully to this first service. So give us ears to hear, give us hearts to receive, God, and give us faith, we pray. It's a gift that comes from you, God, and we pray that you would increase, Lord, each of our faith in you this morning. And it's in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory, all God's people said, amen. So Abel's call to the stand here this morning, I believe, just by way of simplicity, I believe that he's called to the stand this morning sort of just to encourage you and I that are here today that might be feeling some type of persecution and even rejection from family or people who are like family in our lives for following Jesus. Okay, every character that we're going to move through here, it's not redundant. The writer here is not like, who else can we write about? Who else can we call to the stand? He is bringing people to the stand specifically to encourage the Hebrews then for all that they were dealing with, rejection, family, friends, people that they loved so much, people they lived in the communities with, the neighborhoods with, they worked with, went to school with, you know, just the rejection that they were receiving for saying, you know what, it's through grace, through faith. It's not of works. It's not of obeying the Mosaic law. It's through following Jesus. As they're being kicked out of the temple, as they're being rejected and ridiculed, the writer says, hang on a minute here. Abel was able to hang in there. He was able to maintain his belief in a coming Messiah. He was able to do that even in the midst of his own brother hating him unto death. And if he can do it, you can do it. Okay? So that's important this morning for us to sort of understand. Why is he being brought forth to the stand? And as I said in the beginning here, the writer doesn't begin with Adam, because Adam had this different type of relationship with God that was spectacular. Adam had this different kind of relationship with God that really didn't require the faith that Abel required. Abel is the first one of the first generation that had to go by, to some degree at least, the testimony, the word that was given by his parents to him, right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. So there had to have been some type of communication by Adam and Eve to their sons, Cain and Abel. And it was by that testimony, by that witness that they gave to them, that they knew what to do and understood what to do. And it was by faith that they had to believe those things, receive those things, and practice those things. But not for Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were created in perfection. Adam and Eve, Genesis tells us, and I'm going to take you there in just a moment, Adam and Eve walked with God, like face to face in the cool of the day. The Mishnah, the Torah, there's so much rabbinical and Jewish tradition that even speaks of Adam and Eve were clothed in some type of majestic light. It seems as though they were able to step in and out of the different spiritual dimension that I don't think we can really understand, because this is before there was the fall. And you look at the second Adam, you look at Jesus Christ in his resurrected body, he was able to sort of appear and disappear and move through walls and do all sorts of different things. And I wonder if that was more what it was like before they partook of that forbidden fruit. A very different experience. And we know what happened there with the federal head of all of humanity. We know what happened with all of our parents, that Eve was tempted by the serpent. She gave in to that desire. She ate of that forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She enticed her husband. They both ate of this fruit that they were not supposed to eat of. And as a result, they were ousted. They were expelled from this place of paradise. And we're told that those angelic beings were there to sort of guard the way from man entering back into this place of beauty and majesty, so they would not eat of the tree that would allow them to live forever in that condition. And it's on the other side of that place of heaven, if you would, it's on the other side of that, that the word must have been communicated by mom and dad to their sons. Listen, people want to get all crazy with this and say, well, I think there were other kids before there were Cain and Abel. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible speaks first of Cain, and then it speaks of Abel, who were more alike than any identical twins that are on the planet right now. One gene pool. Eve came from Adam, and Cain and Abel came from Adam and Eve. One gene pool. More identical in every which way. I even think physical appearance, than any identical twins that are walking this earth right now. raised in a very similar fashion. Listen, both born on the other side of perfection, both born into a fallen world, both born to fallen parents, both born and given the information that this is not our home. We have an origin and we have a destiny. Parents trying to communicate to their kids the same things that you and I, thousands of years later, are trying to communicate to our kids, right? Hey, kids, Olivia, Stella, Charlo, Harper, this is not our home. We have an origin. We have been made in the likeness of God. We're not a happen chance. Everything that we see and everything that we are didn't just come out of nowhere with a big explosion. We were fearfully and we were wonderfully made in the image of our Savior. We have an origin, and we also have a destiny, and we blew it badly. There was a day, boys, where we literally walked with God face to face like we're talking right now, sons. A day of perfection, a day where God just said, you get to enjoy and tend to this land that I have created, and I got to name the animals and the fowls of the air and those that are in the sea that you see. Come with me to Genesis, if you would, chapter 4. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again, verse 2, bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So just two different sort of occupations that they both did. One, and neither were wrong, and neither were better than the other. One was, you know, tending to the ground, and there's nothing wrong with that. And the other was raising sheep. And not to eat, because they didn't eat the meat until after the flood. So they're raising sheep, I believe, for two reasons primarily. One, for sacrifices that their father must have told them they had to now do. And two, for clothing, for garments. There had to have been a time, based on what we're going to see here as we read through this text, where Adam must have communicated to his boys, after we sinned, we tried to clothe ourselves with fig leaves. We were ashamed. Boys, you don't understand, a light went out. A part of us has died. We had no knowledge of any of these things until we did what God said don't do. And so we sought to, in our own efforts and ingenuity, we sought to cover our shame. And God called us out. We were hiding from God. Boys, don't ever hide from God. You know, try to imagine this. We after we blundered so greatly, we were sort of hiding from the Lord, and he called out to me, as he often did. And he said my name, Adam, Adam, where are you? And I hid from him because for the first time, son, something happened to me where I didn't want to see God. I didn't want to be acknowledged by God, not in this condition. And don't you sort of relate to that this morning? Like, isn't there some of that in you even this morning where it's like, man, there's times in my life where I don't even want to be in church. I don't even want the pastor to run into me or an elder to see me at Wegmans or wherever I'm. I got to stay away from those Jesus people because there's shame. I did something. I thought something. I said something. Can't you sort of relate to these things? And Adam is shamed, and so is Eve. And God in his grace and mercy, after he found them and he called them out and had given them a chance to tell him what had happened, he expels them, of course, from the garden. He pronounces curses upon them. Of course, Adam, you know, the work that you do now, man, it's going to be by sweat and blood and great toil. And Eve, you know, your conception and your giving forth of a child, man, it is going to be pain like you can't even imagine. But even still, I'm going to bless you. And from your seed, you are going to bring Messiah into the world. And their faith is pronounced when Adam calls her Eve, the mother of all living, believing that that would actually happen, that Messiah would come through them one day. And God, in the midst of his judgment, shows mercy and grace, just like he does to you and I. As he expels them from perfection, the place of perfection, he slaughters an animal. And he clothes them with right garments, which could be thought of as garments of righteousness. Somewhere in the raising of these sons, how old are they? We don't know. They lived for so long back then. They could have been 90, 100 years old at this point, which would be like little boys for you and I. They must have seen their father from time to time take a lamb. And I think, listen to me, please. I'll tell you when it's something I think. I think that Adam would take a lamb from time to time, maybe a prescribed time, and he would bring that sacrificial atonement to right outside of Eden if he was able to get there, close to where the cherubims were guarding, almost like a prefigured mercy seat, and would sacrifice a lamb for his and Eve's sins and his sons too, just as God had done in the beginning. You want to know why I believe that? Because the Bible says before the foundation of the world, the lamb was slain for the sins. And he must have said to his sons, before I fell, there never had to be such a monstrosity. But because of what I have done, and because you come from me and what you've been born in, this is what we have to do. And I think that this whole scene and picture would have been so different for the boys, because you and I can't relate fully and understand. But you could imagine as children, maybe even in some way in your own life right now, as a child, or if you're a young person in the room, something that your father does, that you remember. There's memories, or you can recall, you could think on even, you know, current events right now where something affects your father's mood more than like the Bills losing. Where as a child, or if you are a young person, you've said to your mom, or you say to your mom, Ma, what's wrong with Dad today? Honey, you don't understand. Your father and I, before you were born, had this light, this access to light, a different dimension. We had this ability to talk and walk with God. And now we have to sacrifice animals. So that the wrath of God, the wrath towards sin could sort of come forth upon something other than us as creation, all prefiguring, all foreshadowing the coming Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the whole world. And they would see their dad come back from wherever he went, whether it would be where the cherubims were or somewhere else where there was this prescribed place and time where he would sacrifice, and they would see the blood on his hands and perhaps his body. They would see his face. Come on, I mean, they would see his face bent over what he had to just do. I mean, this was an animal that Abel would have raised for this purpose. And it's with this knowledge, same upbringing, same parents, same education. Listen to me, please. Same fallen world, same distractions or the lack thereof. What distractions were there? It's an empty world at this time. Can you imagine? Mom, dad, two boys, and an empty world as far as we know. No radio, no television, no other civilizations, no social media. I mean, imagine the scene. And it says that in the process of time, verse 3, that in the Hebrew is at a prescribed time. It literally speaks at the end of a day, indicating that this was something that was given by God to Adam to be done on a regular basis according to his will. It almost seems to me like it prefigures the Day of Atonement. At a prescribed time, because listen, the right God has to be worshipped in the right way. And that's according to how he wants to be worshipped, not according to how we want to worship him. It's not relative to how you think that he should be approached. It's solely and completely relative to how he says he's to be approached. In that process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also, verse 4, brought of the firstlings of his flock. Notice here, and of the fat. The idea there is the best and the fattest piece of meat. That's what God would have required. And he brings this indicating that it's a sacrifice. And it tells us at the end of verse 4 that the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. What was his offering given by faith. We learned that in Hebrews. We already read that. God had respect, not because it was by blood versus by ground necessarily, but because he did it by faith. He gave in accordance to the instruction that he had been given through faith. He did what God had required of him, and God respected it. God looked well upon it. But unto Cain and to his offering, verse 5, God had not respect. Listen to me, please. It's strong and it's graphic in the original language. It's this: God wouldn't even look at it. Now, you read these things and you might think, man, the Lord is being awfully harsh here. It seems as though he favors Abel over Cain. It's not it at all. Listen, it doesn't seem at all that this would be the first instance that these two boys would have sacrificed. This is not the first time. This is not something that Cain didn't know. This is Cain deliberately disobeying how God says that he's to be approached. This is one appropriating the will of God by faith and another saying, I'm not doing what God says I'm supposed to do. I believe in God, but I don't believe God. I'm going to sacrifice to God, but I'm not going to sacrifice to God the way that God says I should sacrifice to God. In essence, this is a man at the epitome of pride that is saying this, to some degree at least. He's saying this to the effect of this. He's saying, I'm not even really guilty of sin, because if he really believed that he was guilty of sin and that there was a Savior going to be provided through God, then he would do the prescribed prescription that God had given for his sin to be washed and cleansed away. But he's saying this, I'm not doing it. I'm going to offer to God of my own works, of my own sweat, of my own labor. These two boys are where all of the religions of the world, they're the heads that all the religion of the world flow from. One, Abel, substitutionary atonement. I got nothing I can bring. It's got to be through the blood of a sacrifice. And then the other, religion and works. Whatever religious system that you want to come up with out there besides Jesus comes from this head, Cain, the way of Cain. I'll approach God, I'll relink myself to God, I'll get back to God, not the way that Adam said, my dad, not the way that Eve said, my mom, not the way that my younger brother, Abel, is doing, but my way. I don't want to kill an animal. Blood is disgusting to me. I don't want to be around those things. I know that I once did those behaviors. I once performed those works, but not any longer. I'm going to do it according to my own.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.